day. When I die, well, you give me all your loving and your dirty loving, all your hugs and kisses and your money too. Well, you know you love me, baby. Still, you tell me maybe that someday, well, I'll be through. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die.
Oh yeah, Buddy Holly. The day the music died, 65 years ago. Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens boarded a plane in Iowa after they had finished giving a concert, and they were on their way, I believe, to Minnesota. It was horrible weather. It was windy. It was snowy. It was cold. And they took off at a little airport, and a few minutes later crashed in an Iowa cornfield. The day the music died. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Monday, February the 5th, as we roll along into the year. We got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Taylor Barkley of the Center for Growth and Opportunity at Utah State University is going to be with us, and we're going to talk about, what would you call it, the verbal thrashing that big tech execs got during a Senate hearing last week on protecting kids on the internet. We're going to talk about that with him, so stay tuned. And a new NBC poll is out. Spells more bad news for Joe Biden in his race to keep Donald Trump from getting back in the White House. We are going to give you the details on that as well. And here is an interesting question. Why is a United Nations Foundation quietly funneling money to blue state governors? This is kind of scary. We're going to tell you all about it. Stay tuned. And in our ultimate top 10, are you a Walt Disney fan? The top 10 highest grossing Walt Disney animated films of all time. Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, best hair cutter in Tampa Bay for my money is Andrew Ceresi and staff. They're located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Please call for your appointment. 727-733-3773. And Arborlife Tree Service, if it has anything to do with trees, enhancing trees, getting more trees, removing trees, stump grinding, anything, it's Arborlife, Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Please call today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, a border bill finally got through the Senate, and immediately House Speaker Mike Johnson has called it dead on arrival when it gets to the House. Johnson criticized the bipartisan $118 billion, with a B, billion-dollar border security and foreign aid bill after the text of the agreement was released last night. He said the proposal is even worse than we expected and would be, quote, dead on arrival, unquote, in the lower chamber. Now, the bill would allocate $20 billion for border security to give the feds temporary authority to expel migrants when the average number of daily crossings exceeds a threshold. In other words, we'll let in about 6,000 or 7,000, then we're going to stop them. The component also includes ending catch and release, increasing standards for asylum screenings, and attempting to process asylum claims quicker. Now, on the foreign aid side of the bill, it includes $60 billion, with a B, $60 billion, for Ukraine, $14.1 billion for Israel, and there's also some aid for some Indo-Pacific allies. Johnson said he would put $17.6 billion in emergency funding for Israel in a standalone bill next week. So he says, this one, forget it. He wrote on X, formerly, they keep saying formerly known as Twitter. Why didn't they just say Twitter? Anyway, he wrote on X, "I've seen enough. This bill is even worse than we expected and won't come close to ending the border catastrophe the president has created." As the lead Democrat negotiator proclaimed, "Under this legislation, the border never closes," unquote. So that's Mike Johnson. So away we go, right? Now, we've got a lot of governors in red states that are backing what's going on in Texas with the Texas governor and all that razor wire that he's putting down. They're sending National Guard troops. That includes Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He sent a bunch of them, too. No matter what Biden wants to say or do, they're slowing things down in Texas, that's for sure. Now, they're finding other places to get in further west, including Arizona and California. But it's a mess. Everybody knows it's a mess. It's become probably the number one issue that people are going to be thinking about, at least at this point. Maybe there'll be something. You know, by the time November rolls around, God knows where we're going to be in this world.
This will tie in when you have Taylor Barkley on about big tech and everything. But even 60 Minutes did a piece last night that on that world-famous, wonderful TikTok, that there was an opening, a specific opening in the wall, and TikTok actually gave instructions and the coordinates exactly where, even step-by-step instructions on how to hire a smuggler to get you in.
That's really despicable. TikTok. Isn't that despicable?
Yeah. Now, forget what it does to the kids. Look what it's doing to our country.
I know. It's despicable. Despicable. Giving you tips on how to break the law and break into our country. And TikTok has the nerve to, you know, they're running all kinds of commercials these days. You ever see them? They're running commercials all the time now. Oh, boy. I'll tell you. What a world. Speaking about the other side of the world, by the way, the Houthi rebels vowing to escalate attacks in retaliation to the United States and Great Britain, by the way, striking after the killing of those three military people and the wounding of at least 25 more. As you remember, the U.S. and the U.K. launched a series of attacks in Yemen this past weekend in reaction to the drone strike that hit U.S. forces while they were sleeping in Jordan last week. Spokesman for the Iran-backed Houthis, vowing to continue the campaign of disrupting regional trade. Why can't we just get in there and clear out all those shipping lanes in the Red Sea, you know? What is Biden afraid of? You know, if we went in there and said, okay, we're opening up the lanes here, and we got our warships in there, I don't think anybody's going to stop us, you know, with our planes and our warships.
You know what Trump would do to the Houthis?
Well, he wouldn't have had this problem because they'd be afraid to do anything.
If they popped up.
If they popped up?
Yeah. Get in the back room.
Yeah. Slap them with the big stick. I like the slap sound, by the way. You did that very well. I have to give you some credit. So anyway, you know, we keep saying, well, you know, we will keep striking at the time and place of our choosing, right? I don't think we're scaring the Houthis. And I don't think we're scaring Iran.
Obviously not, because they're still firing at us.
Yeah, they're still firing at us right now as we talk, I believe. It's crazy. It really is. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, Taylor Barkley, Center for Growth and Opportunity, will join us. We are going to talk about what's going on with trying to keep children safe on internet platforms.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, It's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's kind of cold and rainy here in Tampa Bay this morning, but that's okay. We'll survive it. Hey, we're delighted to have Taylor Barkley join us. He is the director of the Center of Technology and Innovation Director, I should say, at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. It's a part of Utah State University. And we're going to talk with him about last Wednesday's Senate Judiciary hearing that brought in a whole bunch of big techers and the discussion about how to protect children on their platforms. Taylor, welcome to Freedom Works.
Great to be on the show today. Thanks so much for having me.
Indeed. So last Wednesday, with all, everything else going on in the world, one of the things that, you know, maybe we've been focusing on, I say we, the country's been focusing on a little bit, is how to handle all of these different platforms that children can get onto and not have the children exploited by people that are looking to do bad things. And I guess you could say that, I guess we have what, Meta, X, TikTok, executives from, they got a real tongue lashing, did they not?
That's correct, yeah. So last Wednesday was a bit of a unique hearing in that there were five companies present. So Meta and TikTok, the CEOs, showed up willingly. And I should also note the other three companies, X, Discord, and Snap, those companies had to be subpoenaed, actually, to appear before the Judiciary Committee. And it was about a four-hour hearing. And they did get a number of sharp remarks from and questions from the senators. However, I was really disappointed that the members of Congress missed an opportunity to question the three from X, Snap, and Discord more. Mostly the focus was on Mark Zuckerberg at Meta, which, you know, there's justification for that given the huge platform, 3 billion global users on Meta's products. And then, of course, TikTok with its unique positioning on the globe. But there was a real missed chance to focus on Discord, Snap, and X because it's really unknown like how well they're doing with this most important issue of, you know, child sexual exploitation. This is a heinous problem that companies need to get a grip on, a better grip on than they already are. And I think senators really missed a chance to focus on those companies. They asked them a few questions, but the focus was mostly on Meta and TikTok.
Yeah, they wanted to stage a little bit of theater, especially with Zuckerberg, and they made him stand. They didn't make him, but, well, they shamed him into standing up and apologizing to some of the parents, apparently, that were in the audience for the way that the children were, being exploited, I guess you might say. But getting back to what do you think these executives, I mean, they know what's going on. They know that the kids have the exploitation. Do you think that they are really trying to solve this issue, or is it one of these things where unless you just threaten them with some sort of legislation, they're just going to allow all of these things to continue?
The answer is the classic, it depends. I say Meta is, in, you know, by my read, is doing the best job to try and get a handle on it. They have regular reports on how much, explicit content they're removing that's related to this issue of child exploitation. And I think TikTok is maybe a close second. But then, with Meta, there was a Wall Street Journal story in the summer about, Instagram, one of the Meta products, suggesting in its algorithmic feed content for someone that had set up, a Wall Street Journal journalist had set up an account posing as a underage user, suggesting explicit content to them, suggestive content to them. So there's still, even with that, a company that's trying to get a handle on it, a huge gap that just kind of seems like a no-brainer that they should handle. And then there's other companies with like Discord and Snap and X, where it's largely unknown. Yes, Discord, the CEO said they have teams and resources devoted to this, but there, even if they have whole teams devoted to it, Discord is a platform where people are chatting with each other, one person to one person, or they're setting up private rooms, which could be much harder to get a handle on, what's happening there, what videos, files are being shared, and then Snap, of course, which is user to user, and those sorts of technologies. We're talking just basic messaging. Email poses the same problem. Like, how do we get a handle on what exactly is being shared in email? We're talking about, issues of transparency and, First Amendment issues. If we really wanted to crack, pop the hood on what's happening when people are talking one-on-one to each other or privately. So I think even if a company is doing more, there's still going to be stuff that slips by, unfortunately. And so that's what we're talking about, is like, this is a multifaceted problem that we do need to pour the resources into. Congress is right to pay attention to it, and they really should stay focused on the solutions that will actually help kids and teenagers online.
We're talking with Taylor Barkley. He is the Technology and Innovation Director at the Center for Growth and Opportunity, and we're talking about the exploitation and the sexploitation of children with these online platforms. Taylor, here's the thing. We got this thing about free speech and also about responsibility of parents to oversee what's going on with their kids. And there has to be a fine line. We've always had special rules for children, you can't smoke cigarettes until you're a certain age, you can't drink alcohol until you're a certain age, et cetera, et cetera. We want to protect them. The rules are different for them. Then we come along with this internet situation and everybody jumps on the bandwagon and, is playing around with the internet. And it's just inevitable that content is going to be seeping into the eyes and the ears of these kids. And I guess it becomes a matter of what percent responsibility do the parents have, as opposed to what percent responsibility do the execs have, and what percent does government? We've got like three different groups that are monitoring this, right?
Yes, you laid it out well. I think that we're trying to figure out the balance between all three, and the hundreds of different entities below them, right? So. This is, it's really important on this topic. If you're talking about it with, your friends or family, like, what is the, focusing on what is the problem we're trying to solve? Because I think one thing that was exhibited in the hearing, the problems ranged all over the place. The title of the hearing was great, Big Tech and the Online Child Sexual Exploitation Crisis. That, I think, is the most pressing, urgent problem. But senators' questioning vacillated all over the place, from mental health issues to bullying to, TikTok and potential ties to the Chinese Communist Party, and more and more. So it's important to focus what is the problem we're trying to solve, and I think that affects exactly the level of involvement from the three entities. So let's focus on the most important one for, the rest of the discussion here is, this child sexual exploitation crisis. And this is already illegal behavior, sharing this sorts of content online. There's the sharing of content, but then there's also maybe adults reaching out to children. But there's also children or teens, sharing illegal content with other teens.
Yeah.
They're generating it themselves. And, dealing with that, I think the number one thing that I've come across, the solution here, is giving law enforcement the resources they need to handle these very, very complex, emotionally draining and intense cases. to figure out what the heck's going on, because each case is just so, so different from the next one. It's very clear that law enforcement doesn't have the resources they need. So there's actually a bill that was just introduced, I think it was the day of the hearing last week, a bipartisan bill providing, I think, $5 billion for federal and state and local law enforcement that would, I think, would up the resources so they could handle these problems. But, you know, you're right, too, that we're figuring this out as a society and a culture of what the right balance is. And, you know, we always need to maintain a focus on, A, what's actually going to help them, and then what also is going to preserve our civil liberties and constitutional protection.
Do you think that hearing last Wednesday was not focused enough? I mean, there are so many different things going on. There's the sexploitation, there's regular exploitation, there's, mm-hmm. you know, like you say, conversations between kids, there's conversations between adults and kids, and you get away, and you know, I'm just thinking, you know, they finish the hearing and everybody leaves, and it's like, okay, so what, you know, what's to become of it, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it was focused enough, you know, just to be perfectly honest. And, you know, I should also note there was one major company missing, Google, and they're the owners of the most used platform by teenagers, which is YouTube.
Why weren't they there?
According to Pew Survey.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
Were they not invited? Were they omitted?
As far as I know, I don't believe they were invited because they subpoenaed, you know, the companies that didn't show up willingly. So I don't think they were even invited.
Wow.
You know, it may have been an oversight or an issue or not viewing, you know, YouTube as a social media company.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, it is. But so, you know, that was another missed opportunity. So I do think senators should have actually focused and gotten to the nitty gritty of, you know, this sexual exploitation issue, the different kinds of, you know, the passive and the active forms of it. What is Discord doing? What is Snap doing in particular? X, like, what the heck is going on there? This is the first time, you know, X's formerly Twitter's CEO had appeared before Congress ever. And I think likewise with Discord's CEO. And there was a huge opportunity to learn more what was going on there, to really, like, hold them to the mat, to press them on what they're doing to prevent these sorts of issues. And again, it was mostly on, you know, Meta, and Mark Zuckerberg has been before Congress. I think this was his eighth appearance, or maybe ninth.
Yeah, I've seen him quite a few times doing something with
yeah.
Poor guy.
Yep. I should say later in the week, Meta had the biggest market cap increase of any American company in history. So they're making more money than ever. And so for him, it was probably a mixed bag week where he had, you know, was grilled before Congress and then was able to report, you know, huge earnings for his company, a major turnaround. For the last couple of years. That's also just something that's going on here worth noting.
Well, Elon Musk didn't show up, did he?
He did not. No, it was Linda Yaccarino who is the CEO.
Okay, well, how come he didn't show up? He should have showed up, don't you think, or what? He's busy. He's like he oversees it, I guess. I guess technically he's not the CEO, right?
Yeah, he's the owner, and you know, he is the ultimate say-so. But, yeah, it's Linda Yaccarino, who is the CEO of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was clear she needed, she had maybe some work to do to present her findings. But, again, senators didn't ask her many questions compared to Mark Zuckerberg and TikTok CEO.
I mean, it was a little, I mean, they really kind of undressed Zuckerberg and some of them there. They really got a verbal tongue lashing. I mean, I guess it made some of those senators feel good after they were through. It's like, okay, we gave them hell. You know, I hope everybody watched it and remembers that when it's time for our elections. But you just wonder if this is going to really do anything. I guess the first thing you got to do is you've got to publicize. So from that standpoint, you know, it's out there and people are talking about it, like you and I are talking about it.
That's correct.
But you just wonder where ultimately all of this is going to end up, you know?
Yeah. It remains to be seen what Congress does. And I should say, you know, this is a hearing in the Senate and, you know, the major bills in the Senate, most of them, you know, I'll say the leading bill, the Kids Online Safety Act, COSA, K-O-S-A, has no House companion. There's reluctance on the side, you know, the House side to pick it up because they're more focused on passing a privacy bill that would affect all users, adults and, you know, teens alike. So even if COSA, which has 46 co-sponsors in the Senate, which is almost half the Senate, of course. Even if it did get passed to the Senate, there's, you know, no telling what would happen once it gets to the House, and, you know, does, you know, the president endorse it or not? So it remains to be seen. But, you know, as you said, you know, this, there is attention brought to this issue. That's important.
Oh, sure.
Policymakers are right to, you know, use their platform to educate parents and caregivers about how they can help keep their kids and teens safe online. And the companies have a lot more to do, I think, to make sure that parents and caregivers understand how to use the safety tools that already exist. We're talking, you know, dozens and dozens of them. And I think there's a huge missed opportunity, and the companies have been slow to come to the plate to really help caregivers understand how to keep their kids and teens safe online. So I think that's what these hearings do. They bring attention to it, and hopefully that gap can be closed on the part of the companies.
Yeah, and finally, it's like bipartisan outrage or support or whatever the word is, right? It's not just one side that's, you know, going after these execs to watch over things more. I mean, both Democrats and Republicans were, it seems almost like, equally vociferous. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, that even the chair, Senator Durbin, and Ranking Member Graham, they both reiterated that multiple times, the bipartisan nature of this. You know, all these bills in the Senate have bipartisan support, co-sponsorship. It kind of just depends on, you know, I think each individual senator, you know, why they're doing it. I think, you know, they all have good motivations, but they have different focuses. I would say, you know, Senator Cruz's questioning, which was to Mark Zuckerberg on emails that were public and pressing him on that, you know, Senator Hawley, you know, is the one who, you know, invited Mark Zuckerberg to apologize to parents. Senator Klobuchar focusing on antitrust and her own particular bill. And it just, you know, each member should be, you know, kind of parsed and like where they're coming from. But it's true that they all believe that this is an important topic, and rightly so. You know, as I said,
sure,
at the top, you know, this, you know, sexual exploitation crisis,
oh, of absolutely,
kids and teens online is a top priority, and it's an all hands on deck matter that I think we all should be a part of the solution.
Agreed. Taylor Barkley, thank you so very much. Really enjoyed the discussion. I look forward to talking with you again.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Taylor Barkley, Center for Growth and Opportunity. All right. Going to take our break. When we come back, hey, a new NBC poll is out. More bad news for Uncle Joe Biden in his race to keep Donald Trump out of the White House. We're going to give you the details.
Looking out across the night, city winds asleep as I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
There she was, just walking down the street singing.
Hey, we are back. It's Monday, everybody. Hey, got a lot going on, do we not? If it's not trying to keep the Houthis at bay It's trying to keep all of those people crossing over the border at bay. I guess they're also trying to keep Joe Biden at bay, keep him from wandering off and saying something stupid. Just had a South Carolina Democratic primary, and nobody attended. I think 4% actually showed up, considering that there's no real competition for Uncle Joe. He wins a landslide victory over there with his 4% turnout, but he gets 55 delegates. Then he's off to Las Vegas, and he held a campaign event there yesterday. Anyway, that's where things are going. But a new poll is out. It's an NBC poll. And it finds that despite an improving economy and little Democratic opposition to his job, President Biden is in deep political trouble. He trails Trump on major policy and personal comparisons, including by more than 20 points on which candidate would better handle the economy. And Biden's deficit versus Trump on handling immigration and the border, he's down greater than 30 points on that one. It shows Trump holding a 16-point advantage over Biden on being competent and effective. That's a reversal from 2020 when Biden was ahead of Trump by 9 points on that one. And also on this NBC poll, Biden's approval rating declining to its lowest level on the poll, 37%. Other than that, Joe Biden's doing a hell of a good job.
Nikki Haley didn't show up to that yesterday?
You know where she showed up? She showed up on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, but she didn't show up for the Biden rally? Or?
Oh, maybe she didn't.
Well, I mean, most of her donors now are Democratic voters.
Well,
know.
It could be.
Donors, you know.
You don't watch Saturday Night Live or do you from time to time? No. Apparently she was on there. Yeah. I don't know if she was the host or whatever. But if people thought that she was really conservative, I think after watching that little display, maybe they don't think she's that conservative anymore. Anyway, hey, we got our two favorite callers. Andrew the Master Barber and his brother, Angelo, our eye in the northern sky, are joining us. And guys, it's good to have you with us. So much going on. Angelo, how are you doing? What is irking your craw these days?
Oh, geez. All the stuff that's happening in our country, the border, you know, us not taking action against the Houthis and the Iranians out there.
Well, we're taking action with the Houthis, but you wouldn't know it. It doesn't sound like we're doing much of anything. I mean, maybe we've injured a janitor in one of the warehouses. Other than that, I don't see what we're doing over there.
No. I mean, you know, Mr. President, he's afraid to do anything, just like Neville Chamberlain back in the 30s there in England.
Yeah, he called it peace in our time. He came back from a meeting with Hitler just before the start of World War II saying, okay, everything's settled. Hitler signed this document. He's not going to invade Poland. I think the next day he invaded Poland.
And this is what we have running our country, you know?
Yeah.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. The only thing that changes are the players.
Yeah. Andrew, what do you think? It seems like everything's going Trump's way when it comes to these numbers, but he's still got a bunch of hurdles between now and November.
Well, Paul, at this point, I think Trump is on his way to being president again. I don't understand why Biden has no competition other than they're trying to plan on stealing election again, because they know he has no chance of winning.
Yes.
I think I'm going to go back to New York because I'm going to go there as a illegal immigrant because I can get within $1,000 a month credit cards from Kathy Hochul.
Yes.
You know, I mean, me, my daughters, my wife, if we get one apiece, right?
Yeah.
That could be $4,000 a month.
Hey, you're taking my money now.
There you go.
Hey.
Listen to him. Now, Angelo, for those of you that don't know, Angelo lives in Rochester, New York, which is a far cry from New York City, and I know he's glad about that.
Absolutely.
And his brother, Andrew, down here in the Clearwater-Dunedin area. So, Hey, what about now? What's the name of that guy that's in New York that led all of those four or five illegals that were stomping on policemen in New York City?
Black?
What is it?
District attorney?
The guy, yes, the black district attorney. He's under a microscope right now for letting these guys get away. They're all off towards California, except one of them. I think he kept one.
Yeah, but the thing is, the governor came out saying, "Oh, this shouldn't happen," but she runs a sanctuary state.
Mm-hmm.
She's in cahoots with Biden and everything else. I mean, what's going to happen to these people? Nothing.
The media, mainstream media, gave it very little attention, but there were about four or five or six of these illegals that were literally, they had this one policeman land on the ground. They were kicking him, stomping on him. He was trying to do his job. I was thinking the person taking the camera, the tape or the video of him, why somebody like that doesn't step in and help the cops?
Well, look at what you got in New York. They're all Democrats. They're anti-police. They've been trying to defund the police in New York City for ages now, since this Daniel Prude incident, and all that other stuff. Or Floyd incident, too,
George Floyd.
All they want to do is defund the police, come up with police accountability boards, and you wonder why.
Yeah. Hey, I have another something I want to, and I want to blow it by Andrew. Andrew, Trump got a little bit bothered by the United Auto Workers supporting Joe Biden in the race, although it's not the rank and file. I have a hunch they're going to be voting for Trump over Biden. But the management of the United Auto Workers have formally endorsed Joe Biden. What do you think about that?
They're showing how stupid they are. Okay?
Yes.
They're losing jobs left and right with Biden's electric car baloney. All right? They were going on strike because they wanted more money. You know what? Let them go on strike. Let them do whatever. All they're doing is losing their jobs. And, let's face the facts. The unions are a thing of the past, Paul.
Yeah.
They had their thing in the 1920s and 30s and, even into the 40s. But after a while, there's no need for unions. As a matter of fact, we got no industry in this country, so why bother having a union?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Trump said he was on Fox Maria Bartiromo's program over the weekend, and he said, if Biden gets elected, you won't have an auto worker working in the U.S. Everything is going to go over to China and other countries. He said, this electric car mandate is insane. They don't go far. They cost too much. They're going to be made in China because they have the material to make them there. We have oil and gas. We have gasoline. And that's what people want for the most part. So, that's why Trump connects with people. He just tells it like it is. Everybody agrees with that.
Well, you can't afford the price of a car today. The auto workers, they are getting outlandish wages now. Granted, they deserve a working, living wage and everything like that. But, you can't afford a car. You got interest rates up to 8% to buy a car. You got cars sitting in lots. The ordinary person cannot buy a car. And now they want to do away with our gas stoves. They want to do away with air conditioners. They want to do away with fossil fuels. These people, I don't know what the heck they're smoking.
I know. Well, listen. Hey, yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
I got a guy on the other end of the phone talking about you can't afford a new car, but I know somebody's got three new cars in their driveway. I don't understand that one.
Angelo, you want to respond to that critique?
I'm still paying on him.
Oh, well, there you go. Just because he's got three cars in his driveway doesn't mean that he owns them entirely.
They're brand new cars, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the other ones I had, they lasted 12 years.
That's not bad.
You can't keep putting money into it.
But, you guys better be prepared for the steal on this election. Because they're keeping Biden in there for a reason, because they got a puppet and they're doing whatever they want with Obama running them. Okay, so they want Joe back in there. They don't want anybody that knows, even a half dumb Democrat is going to know what's going on more than Biden.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So be prepared for the steal. Be prepared for the steal.
Yeah.
You know what keeps getting a lot of run lately? I keep hearing this a lot of places is that whole Michelle Obama theory that right around August or so, May, August, somewhere in there, that Joe's going to come down with I can't run and Michelle's going to slide in there.
You think?
No, she could slide in.
I'm hearing a lot of it now.
That's going to cause a lot of grief, believe me. That's the best thing they could do.
We have to wait and see what the Supreme Court's going to do with Biden not being on any of these ballots that these...
Trump, you mean?
States. Yeah, with President Trump.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't trust the Supreme Court at all.
You know?
The Supreme Court is messed up.
Right?
I think it would be a shock. I think Trump's going to be on every ballot in every state. I think there would be a... you want to talk about an insurrection if an entire state kept his name off the ballot?
That's right.
The entire state. There'd be an insurrection in each state where they kept him off the ballot. That's what I think.
Well, if they do that, they're going to find out what a real insurrection is.
Yes.
Okay. What they had was just a premier.
All these charges that they have on President Trump, they're all bogus, all phony, every one of them. And yet, the media just ignores it instead of bringing it to light. Right?
Yeah.
Hey, I ran into a dummy Democrat this weekend, and we were talking. And the minute he heard that I was a Republican, he started laughing. I says, "And what do you find so funny?" I says, "Why don't you tell me one good thing that Joe Biden has done?" And you know what he said? You know what he told me?
What?
He cured COVID.
Oh!
I just sat there and I looked at him. I said, "You're dumber than I think you are." He goes, and he says, "He goes, are you calling me stupid?" I says, "No, I would never call anybody stupid. I'm calling you uninformed."
Oh, goodness!
I couldn't believe this idiot.
He cured COVID.
Yeah, he cured COVID.
He can't cure himself from finding his way off stage. How is he going to cure COVID?
I'm just telling you what they think.
I know.
Well, the Democrats, they're all screwed up. They're more communists now than they have ever been. You know, instead of a jackass that they got, just put the hammer and sickle by their side. Right? The red flag with the hammer and sickle.
I'll tell you what, they're big time on socialism.
Well, they're communists, Paul.
Yeah,
they're actually communists.
I think they're moving towards communism where they want a complete takeover. Well, why don't we just have the government run your life? We'll take away all of your property, and if you're lucky, we'll have you farm it or have you maintain it, but we will own it.
Well, look what they're trying to do. They're trying to take away your cars. They're telling you what kind of a car you have to have.
Right.
They're telling you you can't use a gas stove.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use a gasoline generator out in California. That goofball Gavin, you know, Newsom.
Yeah.
Are we going to have to go back to an outhouse because we can't flush our toilets for the water or what?
Yes, there you go. That's another thing.
I mean, I just don't get the American people. The American people should be revolting against this government, really.
Well, that's why we hope that in November they will, in their own way, you know, the constitutional way.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe that they're going to allow these idiots to keep running this country and have the communists control us, because that's what they're doing. They're communists. They're trying to have a communist takeover in this country.
It's a scary scenario, guys. It really is.
It is. It's very
glad we have people like you two, really, that are out there fighting the good fight. Listen, thank you so very much, as always, Angelo and Andrew, as always, my friend.
You guys have a good day. Enjoy the rain.
Okay. Stay warm. Stay safe. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Stay warm, guys.
All right. Thanks, Angelo, Andrew. All right. Going to take our break. And when we come back, want to talk about the United Nations Foundation, which is quietly funneling money to blue state governors. What's going on? We're going to tell you about it.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment, Freedom Works, on a Monday. And we thank you so much for being with us. We are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. If you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, bless his heart, all of our shows are put on podcast. He does that. And all you've got to do is go to the website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button, and it will open up. Ed's got the most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is, the topic, and the top 10. What more can you ask for? OurFreedomWorks.com. So Fox News has a report that something called the United Nations Foundation, it was apparently founded in the 90s to support UN initiatives, is quietly fueling climate change policies to top blue state governors and their offices. As part of this initiative, the foundation has wired millions of dollars to these state governors and agencies. In many cases, they even fund the state officials' salaries. That does not sound kosher to me. According to tax filings of the foundation, the group wired a staggering $5.4 million to 12 state governments between 2020 and 2022. That's the most recent year with available data. The grants are vaguely earmarked for things like UN strengthening. UN strengthening. Why are state governments and governors getting money for UN strengthening? Apparently, it's connected to climate change. The Washington, D.C.-based organization was, quote, created to work closely with the United Nations, and it houses the U.S. Climate Alliance. The Climate Alliance is a coalition of Democratic-led states that were launched to coordinate environmental policy after the after President Trump at the time withdrew from the Paris Climate Accord. So I guess this is supposedly taking its place. But they are staffing governor's offices to set the policies and regulatory agencies. Apparently to ensure that official reports and rules are climate industry produced. Well, I don't think they should be doing that, and maybe we should get more information on what's going on there. Anyway, so much for that. Before we get into our top 10, hey, it's Super Bowl weekend. Are we getting excited about the Super Bowl coming up next Sunday?
Yeah. actually, I was very surprised to see the Pro Bowl.
Oh,
the and all the activities were on yesterday.
Oh, did you watch? About three.
I did. I figured I was like, eh. And then I couldn't shut it off because they were doing they were, you know, they got rid of the game, basically. You know, the pads and tackling, because they weren't tackling anyway. So it was flag football. And a lot of scoring, of course. And there were the skills competition. There was tug of war. There was gauntlets and stuff. It was very, very entertaining.
Oh, it was. Well, maybe it's more...
Very entertaining. And they finally got it right.
Well, good.
Because, you know, these million-dollar guys are not going to go out...
They're not going to break a leg.
No.
They're not going to injure themselves.
You can blow a knee out and you're gone for the season.
Yeah, I don't blame them at all.
So, but it was very entertaining.
Oh, good.
And it was in Orlando. They need to put it back in Hawaii. Now that they got it figured out... Because the stadium in Hawaii is decrepit and falling down.
Oh.
And it's about to be pulled down anyway.
Oh.
But if they can find a place to host it, like, because they're going to need a stadium, because the Orlando Stadium was full.
Wow. So. Well, I'm glad it was full. Mm-hmm. All right. Time for our top 10. This is, I think, an interesting one. Top 10 highest grossing Walt Disney animated films. Walt Disney Animation Studios have produced 7 films, by the way, that have gone on to gross over $1 billion. So here we go, top 10. Number 10. It's called Inside Out, and it was made in 2015. It grossed $858 million. It focused on the 5 primary emotions of a young girl as her family embarks on a difficult move to San Francisco. All right. Number 9. I remember this movie, Finding Nemo. You remember that, Ed?
Yeah.
2003, it grossed $941 million. It follows Marlin, an overprotective clownfish, who embarks on a desperate journey to retrieve his son Nemo, after Nemo was caught by a diver and put in a goldfish bowl. Ooh. Did you see that?
No.
I didn't either. Number 8. Well, we all remember The Lion King, right?
Yeah.
That's number 8. $968 million. The story of Simba, a young lion cub destined to succeed his father Mufasa as the king of the Pride Lands. Number 7. Zootopia. You ever hear of that one?
Mm.
2016, $1.02 billion. It follows a rookie bunny police officer as she works with cynical con artist Fox to uncover a conspiracy involving the mysterious disappearance of predatory mammals. Number 6, Finding Dory. You ever hear of that one?
Yeah.
Okay, 2016. It was also $1.02 billion. This one was a sequel to Finding Nemo. Dory sets off to find her parents, piecing together what little she could of them from her memories. Number 5, Toy Story 3. I didn't even know they made that many.
1 minute.
Okay. $1.06 billion. I got to move quickly. Number 4, Toy Story 4. 2019, $1.07 billion. Number 3, Incredibles 2, yeah, this 2018, $1.24 billion. Number 2, Frozen. That was 2013, $1.28 billion. And finally, number 1, Frozen 2.
Jeez.
$1.45 billion.
What was that song the kids sang out of there that drove people crazy for years?
Yeah, I guess it did.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday, folks. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. California is reeling from back-to-back atmospheric